I am continuing my sermon series on the top 40 stories of the Bible as we continue to count it down. And this morning we are looking at the book of Ruth. Ruth has four chapters. There's no way we can cover all four chapters, but I will be making mention of the other events that occur in the book of Ruth during the course of the message. But today, and right here for our first scripture reading, I would invite you to join with me as I read from chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. When they lived about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's an old episode of that TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond, and there are problems once again in the Barone household. This time it's between mother-in-law Marie and daughter-in-law Deborah. It seems that there was an incident a few days before where Deborah was trying to get the kids upstairs for their baths, and she and Marie had a rather unpleasant encounter in the middle of all that chaos. And now it's a couple of days later, and we're gonna see what unfolds.
Deborah, may I talk to you?
Sure, Marie.
What happened the other day has really weighed on me, and I did some serious thinking. So Deborah, I was wrong. Please forgive me.
Oh, wow, Marie, thank you. Oh, you don't have to apologize. I'm fine, really.
No, Deborah, I want to. First of all, I'm sorry I came over when I did. I should know by now, by late afternoon, you've lost complete control of the kids. And then I brought company, which must have embarrassed you, since obviously you hadn't tidied up. So I understand why you felt the need to snap at me something. For all that, I'm sorry. All right? All right?
Again.
Well, she can do whatever she wants because I'm done talking to her.
This is what I get for trying to be nice.
Can you two just start talking already? Come on, it's Mother's Day. Can't one of you two mothers just say something?
Someone once described mixed emotions as your mother-in-law driving over a cliff in your brand new Mercedes. Deborah might have had mixed emotions about that. Well, the book of Ruth is an unusual little book because it focuses on the love for, of all people, a mother-in-law. Can you imagine the story of a Moabite woman and her mother-in-law making it within the pages of God's word? Once upon a time, there was a Jewish family who lived in Bethlehem. They fell on hard times because there was a famine in Israel. They packed their bags and they moved to Moab because there was food there. Soon after their arrival in Moab, the man named Elimelech died, leaving his wife Naomi as a single mom to raise her two young boys by herself. Those boys grew up and each fell in love with Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other married a woman named Ruth. But sadly, not long after those marriages, Naomi's two sons died. So 10 years are captured within the first 5 verses of Ruth chapter 1. This family now consists of 3 widows. Here are 3 women thrown together by the tragedies of life, trying to pick up the pieces and move on with their lives. So I would invite you to join with me as I pick up the story and continue to read from Ruth chapter 1, verses 6 through 18. It says, "Then she," meaning Naomi, "started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband.' Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, 'No, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me.' Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, 'See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' Ruth said, 'Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you.' When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her." And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, how we thank you so much for this stunning portrait of loyal love contained right here in the book of Ruth. Come to us now and illuminate the pages of your word on this Mother's Day, that we would apply them to our lives so that our families may grow stronger through your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. So, as you heard me read, Naomi thinks, well, there is nothing for me here. I might as well return home to Bethlehem, where at least I'll have family, friends, and the familiarity of comfortable surroundings. Now, her two daughters-in-law go with her, but as they're walking along, Naomi turns to them and says, "Wait a minute, ladies, it does not make sense for you to come with me. You're not going to find any husbands in Bethlehem. The Jewish guys won't marry a Moabite woman. If you stay here in Moab, you'll have a better chance of finding a husband." Now, keep in mind that these widows lived in a time before Social Security, before there were pension benefits, before there were health care plans or life insurance policies. To become a widow was instantly to become one of the poorest of the poor, which is why the Bible says that we are to show care and compassion towards widows. And so Naomi warns these young women, if you go with me, you're going to be penniless, homeless, and most likely spouseless. Now, one of the daughters-in-law, Orpah, and I'll just say parenthetically, that is who Oprah Winfrey is named after, but her mother transposed the R and the P. She says, "You know what, Naomi, to come to think of it, you have a point. I'm still young. I still have my whole life ahead of me. And so she picks up her suitcases and she heads back towards Moab. But the Bible says that Ruth, the other and daughter-in-law, clung to Naomi. The Hebrew word there means to attach. I like to envision the scene that I've seen on Sunday mornings. It's usually across the street, but it happens here too. But it's outside the church nursery room where there's an infant or a toddler squeezing the neck of her mama and won't let go. We have a phrase for that today. We call that separation anxiety. Although I have to wonder if that anxiety is more about the parent than it is about the child. But then from Ruth's lips come some beautiful words, maybe more beautiful than any in all of literature. These are words that are either read or sang at weddings, even though they have nothing to do with a marriage. Ruth says, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates me from you." You know, Steven Spielberg were directing the movie Ruth and Naomi. He would probably have the scene of them walking along to a song sung by the musical group The Rembrandts. It was also the theme song later made famous in the TV show Friends. "So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too." Now, isn't that how it is in families? We head down the road of life with no guarantees, except that whatever may come our way, the good and the bad, we will be there for each other. I think the four chapters of the book of Ruth were placed within the pages of God's word because the story mirrors the loyal love of God to his children. If you think about it, by today's standards of thinking about it, Ruth made a bad decision. Because why in the world would a young, and we're thinking maybe 25 to 30-year-old young woman, give up her independence, give up her freedom to go to Bethlehem and live with her mother-in-law? Why in the world would she so severely limit her options and get caught up in all the messy complications of living with an in-law? It doesn't make any sense. Friends, the reason we do it is because that is how God loves us. This kind of love builds strong families, strong Christians, and strong churches. Now, the Hebrew word for love, and I've shared this with you before, it's a very rich word, and it's usually translated one of two ways. It's sometimes translated as loving kindness or steadfast love. The word in Hebrew, you've heard me say this before, is the word hesed. And there are usually two prongs to the meaning of this word. The first prong suggests affection or warm feelings. Think about it. God doesn't just love you. God likes you. God has your picture on his refrigerator. The second dimension of God's love, the second prong, is his covenantal love and commitment to us. God's love is a tenacious love that will never, ever let you go. You know, it said that the Israelites were avid bird watchers, and the one bird that they really loved was the stork. Now, why did the Israelites love the stork so much? Well, Psalm 104 says that a mother stork cares so much for her young that she puts them in a nest high atop the trees where her children will be safe. And then she stays beside her young storks no matter what. There's actually a t-shirt that says, "Mommy doesn't want the stork getting credit for all of her hard work." But it's interesting that the Israelites' respect for this bird was such that when it came time to like name the stork, they gave it the same name as their word for God's love. Remember, I already told you that the Hebrew word for God's love is the word hesed. Well, all they did was add a couple of letters, and they called the stork hesedah, a bird whose loyal love reflects the covenantal love of God. Ruth says to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Where you die, there I will die and be buried." Now, Ruth's statement is even more remarkable because, if you were listening, Naomi was not the most fun person to be around. You know, when they arrive back in Bethlehem, Naomi goes around to all of her relatives and declares, "You know, you can't call me Naomi any longer." Naomi's name in Hebrew means pleasant. She says, "You must now call me Mara, for God has dealt bitterly with me." Does the face of any member of your family suddenly come to your mind? Maybe you work with someone like this, or worse, maybe you live with someone like this. Well, it was this dour, difficult personality that Ruth committed her loyal and unshakable love to. If you think about it, Ruth had all of the same problems that Naomi had. Think about it, they both were widows, but in Ruth's case, she was miles from home, from her country, and from her relatives and friends. And yet, the same stressful circumstances that brought out the worst in Naomi's personality only seemed to strengthen the sweet, sensitive servant spirit of Ruth. Well, in the next scene, as we kind of move it along in the book, they return to Bethlehem. But now, Ruth has to go job hunting, and so she drops off her resume at various business locations. And the only job she can find is that of a gleaner in the fields. It's a job that's going to have her outside, under the hot sun, bent over, picking up stalks of barley all day long. Now, if you're a mom out there of small children, you may not realize it, but you're a gleaner because you spent hours of your day bent over picking up little things. You may have a college degree. You may have a variety of talents, job skills, and experiences, but most of your day is spent hunched over picking up little toys, picking up little pieces of food, wiping noses, and holding hands. But it is how you show your loyal love. Now, I know that all you moms out there are still human, and that means not perfect. And it reminds me of the police recruit who was one time asked during an exam, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own mother?" And he replied, "Call for backup." But you know, there are points when mothers also reach the end of their rope. The mother of three notoriously unruly youngsters was asked whether or not she would still have children if she had to do it all over again. And she replied, "Of course, just not the same ones." I think the best way that I've ever heard motherhood explained is that having kids is like walking around with your heart outside of your chest. Your heart goes to school and gets made fun of. Your heart jumps into cars and drives way too fast. When she doesn't make cheerleader or the ball team, your heart breaks and bleeds. That's why I think God has up in heaven on his desk this big rig phone, and it's labeled "Calls from Mothers." When God picks up, God simply says, "Do not be anxious. Do not be afraid." Well, You know that field that Ruth was gleaning in? It was owned by a man named Boaz, and he happened to be a wealthy relative of Naomi. One day, Boaz is walking through the field, and he sees this young, attractive Moabite woman bent over, picking up these stalks of barley, and he inquires about her, and one thing leads to another, and Boaz and Ruth sort of form this friendship, but there aren't any sparks of a romance. So one night, Naomi decides to sit Ruth down and say, "Now listen up, Ruth, I don't know how to be any more subtle about this, but it seems that Boaz hasn't made any moves on you yet. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to dress up in a bridal gown. You're going to sneak into his bedroom at night while he is sleeping, and you're going to sit at the foot of his bed. When he wakes up in the morning, you're simply going to look at him, smile, and bat your eyelashes." Pretty subtle if you think about it, right? Sure enough, Boaz wakes up the next morning to Ruth humming the tune of the wedding song. And not long after that, there were wedding bells for Ruth and Boaz. And then after a little while longer, the stork pays a visit to their home. How about that? A baby born in Bethlehem. A baby born to a young woman named Ruth, whose life was at a dead end. She had no hope, no future, and she wasn't even an Israelite. And the baby of Ruth was named Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. And eventually, from David's lineage, was born a young boy named Joseph. He grew up and took a wife named Mary. And they had a baby boy, and his name was Jesus. Ruth's loyal love brought forth the incarnate love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you hear that, all you have to say is, "Wow," which is mom upside down, right? While back, Lisa and I went to see a play at the Fulton Theater. It was based on the book Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. It's the true story of a young sports writer who finds out that his favorite old college professor is dying with ALS. The writer goes and sits at Maury's bedside every Tuesday, and he writes down these gems of wisdom from his old college professor. At one point, Maury says, "In the beginning of life, when we're infants, we need each other, right? At the end of life, when you get like me, we need each other, right? Well, Mitch, here's the secret. In between, we need each other as well." Friends, this is how God calls us to hold on to each other within our families, with that same tenacious, ferocious, loyal love that God has for us as his children. Today is Mother's Day. It's a day when we remember how much we need our mothers. We need them at the beginning of life, we need them in the middle of life, and we need them at the end as well. And so let's give thanks, and let's be sure we hold on real tight. Would you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful that you hold on to us with a love that will not let go. If we could bottle your loyal gift of love, certainly on the label would be the face of our mothers. Through thick and thin, we have been loved, even when we flunked algebra, or when we got drunk and crashed the car, when we got pregnant, or when we ran away from home. God, we thank you for this marvelous mirror of your unconditional love in our lives. And even if not through our mothers or mothers-in-law, always it is you who have held us through your own abiding spirit. We pray for our moms who from their labors rest in her now with you in heaven, and we thank you for the promise that one day we will be reunited with them through Jesus Christ. We pray for the moms who are active here on earth. We pray that this Mother's Day would be an encouragement to them. May they know that they are doing your divine work here in meaningful and practical ways. May all the women sitting here and those who are watching online always believe that you still work miracles in families, as you did for Ruth and Naomi long ago. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we do pray all these things. Amen.